follow his sunnah until the day of judgment. As to what follows, then I welcome you all to this, my respected brothers, and I pray that Allah gives us a blessed life and give us Jannah as an Akhirah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the one who has combined us tonight in this blessed masjid, that he also combines us in the Akhirah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah, the eternal place. Verily he is capable of doing so. Oh my beloved friends, the title today is Defense of the Sunnah. This will be the lecture of my title today, tonight inshaAllah. And as is my habit, just in case time doesn't take us away, then I'm going to talk about this topic based on the following points. Firstly, the position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Secondly, the Quran and the Sunnah do not separate. Thirdly, when the Quran and Sunnah has a contradiction with our common sense. And fourthly, the obligatory return. So it says, pay attention carefully, because this topic in these days is of a very important, at the same time dangerous topic. So we pray that Allah blesses us with those who are listening to the speech and then follow it to the best of their capabilities. These are the ones that are truly guided, and these are the intelligent ones. Firstly, what is the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I want to take advantage of this lecture to defend the Sunnah by explaining the position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the sight of Allah is the exact same position as is the status of the Quran, as is the status of the Sunnah with regards to this religion. I'm going to repeat this, and please pay attention. I say that I have on purpose made sure and utilized this lecture to explain for you, to explain to you that the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of Allah is the same as the status of the Sunnah is to the Quran and this religion. So the position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of Allah is very high. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The position of the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a very respected status, because Allah created all of the creation, and He chose out of the creation the prophets. He blessed them, and of the prophets He chose the rusul, the messengers, and of the rusul He then chose the five, the ulul azm, the patient one, Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of these five, He chose the two Khalils, Ibrahim and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then of the two, He chose Muhammad. So He made him more preferred over all of the creation. So He then opened his chest and purified it, and raised his mentioning, and made him less burdened, and purified him in all things. He purified him in his aql, or in his mind. Allah says, your companion has not misguided, has not been misguided, nor has he gone astray. Also he protected him in his eyes, like Allah says in the Quran, that his eyes did not lie to him. And he protected him in the heart, because Allah says in the Quran that the heart has been, alam nashrah laka, did we not open your chest for you? He purified him in his mentioning, because Allah says, we have raised your mentioning. He purified him in his own purification. He said, we have lifted you of your burden. He purified him in his truthfulness, because he said he only speaks the truth. He purified him in his knowledge, because Allah says he was taught by the one who is ever powerful. He purified him in his gentleness, because he said that the Prophet is ever merciful to the mu'mineen. Then he purified him in totality, because he said, you are of a very noble character.
بل ما من نبي ولا رسول.
There has not been a single prophet or messenger.
إلا وقد نادى عليه ربه جل وعلا.
Except that Allah has spoken with him.
مجرد إلا المصطفى.
With his name, except for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
وهذه كرامة.
And this is a great blessing and a great miracle.
بل أنا أتصور أن هذا الدليل من أعظم.
But I and I say that this is one.
رب العلي للحبيب النبي.
This is one of the greatest proofs of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa taala to the Prophet.
مهما على درجته.
No prophet, no matter how high he has got, except that Allah has called him by his name itself, just his name, except for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now listen carefully. Allah says, O Adam, live in Jannah, you and your wife. O Ibrahim, your dream has come true, you have fulfilled your dream. O Musa, I am Allah, so worship me. O Isa, I am going to cause you to go up and raise you to me. O Yahya, hold strong to the book. O Zakaria, we are going to give you the glad tidings of a child. O Dawood, we have made you a khalifa or a person in charge on this earth. But when he called to our prophet and our beloved person, he said, O Nabi, O Prophet, he called him out by his title, not by his name. We have sent you as a messenger and as a warner and a giver of glad tidings and a bright and shining light. O Prophet, O Messenger, do not be grieved by those who commit kufr. He also calls him by his characteristics. He said, O you who is enveloped in a garment, O you who is caught up, muzammil. And he did not mention his name ever except by the fact that he added his title and characteristic that he was a messenger of Allah. Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad is only a Rasul. So he always mentioned his name along with the title. Muhammad is not the father of any of you, but he is the Rasul of Allah. Every time the Prophet's name is mentioned, his title is also mentioned as a prophet or a messenger. So this is because, and he's quoting some poetry, that the Prophet is the end and the seal of the Prophet. He said to all of the prophets to bear witness to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his name itself, Muhammad, means well praised sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His prophethood is the one that has the seal of prophets on it. And he always mentioned his name along with Nabi and Rasul. And of his name, Muhammad is one of the names of Allah, is Mahmud. So of this name, Muhammad, it is based on Allah's name, Mahmud. So there is not a single messenger or Rasul, Nabi or Rasul, except that Allah has made a covenant with him that when the Prophet will come, then all of them, they must follow and believe in him. A special path with the Prophet. Allah says in the Quran, when Allah took the covenant of the Prophet, because of what I have given you of the books and of the knowledge, when the messenger comes to you confirming that which has come before you, then you will believe in him and you will help him. Allah asked them, did you agree to all of this? They said, yes, we agree. So Allah says, bear witness and I also will bear witness to this. So Allah made a special covenant with the prophets to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also made him a special status on the Day of Judgment called Maqam al-Mahmud, or the praiseworthy status. Allah mentions this in the Quran that pray tahajjud at night. It is possible that Allah will raise you to the holy status on the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed with the Kawthar. And the Kawthar, as has been known in authentic hadith, is a river in paradise. Kawthar is a river in paradise. It is special for the Prophet. No other Prophet has been given the Kawthar. It is a river in paradise. Its water is whiter than, is colder than ice. And it is sweeter than honey. And it smells better than musk. The number of cups of this river is the number of stars in the sky. Whoever takes one sip of it, he is never going to be thirsty as long as he lives. Oh Allah, make us drink of the hawl or of the river of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we will never be able to be thirsty after we take the sip. Oh my beloved brothers, wallahi, if I started talking about the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Quran and the Hadith, only from the Quran and the
Hadith,
I would have had to take tens of lectures. This is based on my own ignorance. Imagine if a great alim were to talk about the status of the Prophet ﷺ. This would go on forever. And I can swear that no one can understand the status of the Prophet ﷺ truly except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the sight of Allah is of the same status as the Sunnah is to the Quran. And this is my second point in today's lecture. And this is why I began with this introduction, so that you understand the importance of the Sunnah by understanding the importance of the one who brought you the Sunnah, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, the Quran and the Sunnah never separate. In Punjab, there started the continent of Punjab, there started a movement, an evil sect after the Qadianis. It calls itself Al-Quraniyun. This filthy firqa, this filthy sect, brought forth such an evil statement, such a dirty statement, that it is sufficient to mention this, what they believe, to refute their group. Yet, unfortunately, many people who believe in Islam, they have been affected by this group, by this filthy ideas. This idea has, this sect has come forth with such strange ideas that they said that Islam is the Quran only without the Sunnah. Listen carefully, understand. Those that are trying to cause doubt in the Sunnah, they are not just of the Kafir Orientalists. No. Many of them are those that claim to be Muslim. They are trying to make this type of idea spread amongst the Muslims. And they said that the Islam and the Quran is all that we need. It is the Quran without the Sunnah. And we don't need to go to the Sunnah or anything besides the Quran. In fact, the Quran is sufficient wherever the Quran takes us. Whatever the Quran says is halal and haram, that is sufficient. All of our Sharia is based on the Quran. We don't need the Sunnah for our religion. And these people, they thought that they are capable of saying this. So they didn't take the Sunnah, nor did they even understand the Quran. Because it is not possible for a single person, no matter how knowledgeable he gets, to understand the Quran without the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And listen carefully to what he said. Because tonight's lecture is of the lectures that are of the methodology of Islam, and it requires that you pay attention. The Prophet ﷺ said, as is reported in a hadith narrated by Hakim with an authentic isnad from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ said, I have left amongst you two things. You will never go astray after these two things, the Book of Allah and my Sunnah, and they are never going to be separated until they come to my pond or Kawthar on the Day of Judgment. They will never be separated. I repeat, the Prophet said, I have left amongst you two things. You will never go astray after these two things. In other words, as long as you hold on to these two things, you will never go astray. The Book of Allah and the Prophet Sunnah. And they will never go apart, be separated, until they come to my pond on the Day of Judgment. It is impossible that you understand the Quran without the Sunnah, as I will prove to you in right now, inshallah. Look at how concise and beautiful what Imam Al-Awza'i said. Imam Al-Awza'i said, the Quran is more in need of the Sunnah than the Sunnah is in need of the Quran. The Quran needs the Sunnah more than the Sunnah needs the Quran to explain it. I repeat, the Quran needs the Sunnah more than the Sunnah needs the Quran. How is this possible? Look at this beautiful, look at what Ibn al-Qayyim said regarding this statement in his beautiful book, I'lam al-Muwaqqi'in. He detailed and explained this statement of Awza'i. The statement of Awza'i that the Quran is more in need of the Sunnah than the Sunnah is in need of the Quran. Ibn Qayyim said, the Sunnah, like the Quran, is about three perspectives or three factors between the two. The Sunnah with the Quran falls into three categories. The first category. The first category is that the Sunnah agrees with the Quran from every single aspect. And this is of the category of two evidences complementing one another. They help one another. So the first category is that the Sunnah agrees with the Quran, everything. Nothing new or nothing less. So this is extra evidences for us to take the evidence from. Let me explain to you what the Ibn Qayyim said. For example, the Quran talks about Tawheed, or the oneness of Allah. The Sunnah also talks about it. So the evidence of the Quran meets with the evidence of the Sunnah, and they come together with the same thing. Likewise, the Quran ordered us to pray, and the Sunnah also ordered us to pray. So they come together. The Quran ordered us to fast, and also the Sunnah ordered us to fast. The Quran orders for Hajj, and the Sunnah orders for Hajj. So the two evidences meet together, the evidence of the Quran and the evidence of the Sunnah, in the same category. And this is of the two evidences helping one another, complementing one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, your God is one and He knows everything. Allah said, whoever disbelieves in the evil gods and believes in Allah, then he is the one who is held on fast to the... Allah says there is no God except Him. Allah says we have not sent any prophet except He has said La ilaha illallah. So many verses talking about Tawheed. So the Sunnah comes and explains that the first important pillar of our Islam is Tawheed. The Prophet said in an authentic hadith, Islam is built on five pillars: the testimony of La ilaha illallah, and that Muhammad is His messenger. This is the first pillar. Islam has commanded, Quran commands with Tawheed and belief in the Prophet. Allah says, O you who believe in Allah and His messengers. Believe in Allah and His messengers. And the Sunnah comes to affirm and confirm the same thing. The Prophet said, Islam is built on five pillars. The first one is the testimony of La ilaha illallah and that Muhammad is His servant. So the Quran commands to pray. Establish the prayer. The prayer is obligatory at certain times. The Sunnah comes and it commands you the same thing. Islam is built on five pillars: the testimony of La ilaha illallah, and that Muhammad is His messenger, and the second one is to establish the prayer. So the Quran commands with zakah, and the Prophet also commands zakah. The Quran commands with fasting. Like Allah says, fasting has been prescribed for you. Likewise, the Prophet said, fast in the Ramadan. The Quran commands with Hajj. Likewise, the Sunnah comes. The Prophet comes and affirms that you must do Hajj, whoever can afford to do so. So the two evidences, they come together and they affirm one another. This is the first category of what Ibn Qayyim said. Is this clear? The second category of the how the Quran and the Sunnah interact is that the Sunnah explains what is in the Quran. It elaborates that which is concise in the Quran. Something that has not been explained in the Quran, the Sunnah will come and elaborate. So the Quran commands you to pray. Establish the prayer. Beautiful. We hear and we obey, O Allah. We are going to pray. But let us come. Let us come. Open the Quran and show from the beginning of Fatiha till the Surah An-Nas without opening a book of the Sunnah and teach us how to pray from the Quran. Is there anywhere in the Quran a single verse that tells us that Dhuhr is 4 rak'ahs, or that Asr is 4 rak'ahs, or that Isha is 4 rak'ahs, Is there any verse in the Quran that tells us how to pray in detail? What are the pillars of salah? What are the factors that break salah? What are the sunnah of salah? What are the obligatory things of salah? What should we read in the qiyam? When should we stand up? What should we say in the sajda? How do we say the taslim? No, there is not a single verse in the Quran that tells us these things. All of these things are found in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet will pray in front of the Sahaba and he will tell them, pray as you saw me pray. So the Prophet ﷺ says, pray as you have seen me pray. He's quoting a person, Mustafa Mahmud, or no one. Mustafa Mahmud is of those who denies the Sunnah. He says none of these people can bring forth or tell us that the Quran is sufficient for us. Where are we going to learn how to pray from? This question, who can respond except from the Sunnah? Go to the Quran. Take out from the Quran how to pray. You will not be able to find it. The Quran has commanded us to fast. طيب, how can we fast? When should I stop fasting? When should I stop drinking? What is the intention? What are the pillars of fasting? What are the factors that break fasting? What are the obligatory acts of fasting? You will never find a response to this in the Quran, except in the Sunnah. Allah says in the Quran, so eat and drink until you can differentiate between the white thread and the black thread after Fajr. Then fast until the night. This is what Allah says in the Quran. When this verse came down, one of the companions understood this verse literally. So he took a thread, literally, a black thread and a white thread. A black thread and a white thread. And he put them on his pillow. And he kept on eating and drinking until he could tell the two threads apart. But when he could tell them apart, he could see the sun out there. So he went to the Prophet and he told him what he had done. So look at how the Prophet joked with him. He said, that means that you have a very big pillow for you to have done this. Because what is meant by the verse is the streaks of the dawn. He said, indeed your pillow must be very big. So the Prophet then explained what is meant by this verse. He said, eat and drink until you can tell the black thread from the white thread from the Fajr. He said, this is the blackness of the white, the blackness of the night and the whiteness of the day. It doesn't mean a physical thread. The blackness of the night and the whiteness of the dawn that comes up. This is how the Sunnah explained the Quran. Even Abu Hurairah could not understand this, how the Sunnah explained the Quran. Allah revealed in the Quran, those who believe and do not do any injustice, these are the ones that will have peace and they are going to be guided. Those who believe and don't do any injustice, they don't mix their iman with any injustice, these are the ones that will be secure and these are the ones that are guided. So when this verse came down, the Prophet's companions found this very difficult, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.